And Dr. Leidenheim is a senior researcher at Medicare Development Incorporated and an independent Maine-based health policy expert, DBA MaineHealthPolicy.info. Okay. Past significant leadership roles in Maine include President CEO of the Maine Center for Public Health and Executive Director of the Maine Health Policy Advisory Council. She has been working on micro-wellness and healthy Maine streets since 2012. So welcome.
Okay. So let me tell you about this amazing program we're doing. And I'll tell you, I've been going to sessions, and this is totally about healthography. I'm Kayla, I'm the chubby one over there, and you can see the smiles on our face because this program has been a love fest. This is me, some of my co-authors, our partner from the Maine Downtown Center, which works with downtown historic districts, doing community development, historic restorations, festivals, and we partnered with them, and no disclosures. We're going to talk to you about how we came up with this partner. What we discovered was for what we were doing, which was under a community transformation grant, you didn't go out and do the group formation. You found the groups that existed. Health wasn't the purpose of the group. Health was some special sauce that you gave to this already thriving group to make them even stronger and even more vibrant. And you become part of their mission. You're not asking them to take on your mission. So that was our secret. And everyone really bought it. So what is place-based in small employer worksite wellness? Now, when I'm talking about small employer, I'm not talking about 150, which I think is the SBA definition. In fact, we used to call it micro-wellness. We started this, we were doing employers of five down to one, sole proprietors. We had so many people wanting to get on board, we took it up to 20. But still, we're working with tiny, tiny employers. All the problems you have with insurance, you have with workplace wellness. How are you going to do workplace wellness if you've got three people? You know, how are you going to even know what the issues are? Because you're going to violate privacy if you share that information. So what we came up with was what we call place-based worksite wellness. If you are a small and working in rural communities, small downtown, and this would work in a neighborhood too, you all have face-to-face relationships with each other. Where you work as an employee and an employer is the downtown. It's not within the tiny businesses. So the kinds of things one might do internally within a larger workplace, you do externally on a shared basis across the downtown. So it's a pretty simple model. It's a very intuitive model. And everyone just got it. People loved it. They worked with it. So I'm going to tell you how we did it. We did it under CTG for the last year, basically 2 years, but about a year full program operation. We had statistically significant improvements in a year that we can show you because we did a lot of data collection. And people are continuing to do it after we're gone. People are interested in copying it. And I want you all to come out and preach it and go hallelujah and ask me how to do it. I've got materials back there to help you do that. So one of the secrets is that when you get the employers in the community joining together, they're doing shared purchasing, they're doing shared problem solving, they're developing community-wide environmental interventions, and yet it helps the employees. It also helps the customers. And it helps the customers, the people start feeling, wow, the people downtown really like us. They're making this a better place. And you get into this wonderful virtuous circle within the whole community. And it just, it's great. It really works. So that's their theoretical model. For those of you who are academic, go download it. I'm not going to walk you through it. But basically, you have population health, you have individual health, and a lot of the work site environment kind of is a way of bringing some of those concepts together. So what does wellness mean to small employers? When we started, so we're talking about micro-employers, one of our questions was, do they even care? Does it mean the same thing to them? Is it the same for small employers as large employers, or is it different? So we learned, yes, it's the same, and yes, it's different. It's the same in that they really care about it. They are interested in it. They're willing to do it if you give them the support. They don't have someone internally to hire, but if you have someone externally who's shared, yes, they'll take part and they'll do it. On the other hand, they're very relational. If you're working face-to-face with four other people, it really is like a family, and you really do depend on one another. And you can't have work release. You can't have a couple of people go off doing something else because you have to close your door if you do that. So You have less flexibility, you have a stronger motivation, you already have a sort of a collective thing which is helpful in providing that support, that network of support, which we all know can be really essential in thriving and building change that sticks. So they participate. Their challenges, those tiny employers have a lot of turnover. We didn't work with the same people the whole time because it's like 4-year survival rate is around 20% for tiny employers, and it's not, you don't last a long time when you're small often. And are there unique opportunities? Absolutely. We found that sharing things, they were willing to do it, they were interested in doing it, and just partnership is what it was all about. So going in, our three partners, MCD came in with the expertise in public health. The state of Maine, we do a lot of contract work for the state of Maine, so among other things, we were doing the contract work for the state of Maine's worksite wellness. So we had, through the expertise that we had physically in our office, but who was doing statewide work with employers of all size, access to some of the analytic tools around assessing what current practices were for employers and employees, and we used that both at baseline and follow-up just to see what the changes were. And then community development was with the Maine Downtown Center, who, as I described, these are the people who do the Pumpkin Festival and the Whoopie Pie Festival. And I'll tell you, one of the first things out the gate, we had a healthy Whoopie Pie contest. If any of you know what a Whoopie Pie is, you'll understand how astounding that is. So you put us together, and one of the things that we learned from these guys is how important branding is and having really concise messages and getting the word out. And we were worried about publishing, and they were worried about getting awards because that's how they publicize things. And that was very interesting. And we really learned each other's cultures. We learned each other's languages. But this is the message we gave. It's about connecting small businesses, creative opportunities, making the healthy choice, the easy choice, you know, the CTG motto. Got examples of some of our things out back there. We've got 10 ways to have a healthy work day. We did do the math, these little scorecards. So if you were an employer and you knew how many people were overweight or obese, this is how much you might expect the value, increased value. So really quick and easy ways of messaging, getting things out. Nothing that was more than a page in size. Very attentive to who our audience is. They didn't have time. Our structure, we were working with communities from about 900. Largest was just under 20,000, just about 20,000. We tried to get every county in the state. We ended up losing a couple just because of turnover. These were people who were already members of the Main Street organization. Most of your states probably have a Main Street organization. So they do downtown development around historic districts. Great partner, really great group to partner with. 8 of them were network communities, which were smaller ones. They're volunteer organizations, whereas the Main Street communities have paid, generally one paid staff, maybe 2 paid staff. And they committed to pull together a community wellness committee made out of employers in their community. We gave them a list of external wellness partners. We don't have local public health by and large. We have this coalition-based system. So a member of these Healthy Maine Partnerships, which were these coalitions of entities that provided kind of community wellness services, most of them partnered with them and contracted with them. And we set up payments that included them learning how to purchase wellness. In other words, we didn't say, here's your project, and then we're going to purchase this wellness service for you. We said, here's your budget to find a wellness partner. Because we wanted them to learn that wellness isn't free. You know, we give away public health. And we're working with these small businesses, and we wanted them to learn you don't give away public health. You have to learn how to go after it and who's doing it. So we really saw it as an opportunity to help people learn about this. So the employers were there at the business level. The employers did the survey, the inventory of what they were doing. Their employees did the survey. They did business level work plans. They met together on a monthly basis to say, okay, wow, 8 of us have identified that we want to do something about diet and exercise. Let's form a walking club. Let's go down. You know, Joe, you run the cafe in town. Would you mind putting a yogurt and hard-boiled egg special on your menu so when we're trying to lose weight, we can come down and do it? And this is the way it works. You don't have a cafeteria, but you've got a cafe. And when you get them to do menu labeling and healthy items, then everybody in the community benefits. there's been a lot of trail activities, and often they didn't connect to the downtown. So a lot of, almost all of the towns did maps that showed what the connection was, showed what the distance was. Sometimes used it as an opportunity to say, you know, you got to have that ice cream cone if you walk from the far parking lot to the, this place and back again, that covers a small baby scoop ice cream cone. So they were very creative in tying it all together. The community level, they recruited the businesses, and they really were the voice, the connection between our two state-level organizations. We kept telling the story to each other about how health and economics interweave, and the connection was very clear at every level. And really what we discovered was we were talking about the same things using different languages, and to a large extent what we felt happened during this period was we learned one another's language. So the healthy downtown, from the health point of view, you've got lots of choices for eating well, for doing exercise. You know what? What that means is there's more foot traffic. That means there's more sales. That means more people are coming down and going to the restaurants. A couple of the towns did a health passport, which listed healthy menu items from 8 different restaurants. And if you went and got the healthy menu item over the course of a couple of months, reached the restaurants, and got a stamp, you're entered in a drawing. Public health person, I think that's wonderful. I'm teaching people about healthy food. I'm teaching the restaurants to market healthy food. Business point of view, we're drawing people downtown. This is a business promotion. And say the we had this virtuous cycle where what each of us was doing was reinforcing the other. So you had great buy-in. We used this existing scorecard toolkit, and we used that to give us pre- and post-findings. So what we found was the employees at the start, and I was very surprised at this, all of them said, well, not all, about 60-70%, even at the start, saw that there was an employer role, that the employer should be active, was active in helping them get the exercise they wanted, do the physical activity, do the healthy eating. All the same, even though they started high, you can see the blue is where they started from none to high, and by the end, yet even more saying either medium or very high support around healthy eating, for example. And we saw this in each of the areas we worked in, tobacco use, nutrition, physical activity. You started pretty high, you ended up even higher. We had about 500 employee surveys pre and post, but they were different employees. Because we had some of the counties, some of the employees in the coastal counties, which were kind of wealthier and a little more middle class, dropped out, were less active, and some of the inland ones started late. So we had more of them. That was more sort of blue-collar and failing mill towns. So it was a very different demographic. There were more males. There were more smokers in the post group. But we had 80 employers that we have pre- and post information on. Almost all of them showed yellow was significant change. The changes were all in the right directions. I'm showing the percentage change from pre to post on things like do their tobacco policies comply with state law? Do they have physical activity program offerings? Do they support nutrition activities, vending machine policies? Well, no one has a vending machine if you're a tiny employer. Lactation, meeting policies, you know, good food. I was so excited. I was dancing around when we got these. Okay, this is unreadable. If you download my slides, I actually go to this. We had community level things that the towns had to do, as well as the business level. So this lists what each of the towns did. There were about 25 major areas that when we all was said and done, the towns decided to do things in. And let me see, where did I put, I've got my notes of how many did what. In the end, there were 465 separate strategies in the 19 towns, about 24 per town. And by the end of our year, 77% were either in the process of being implemented or had been completed. Okay, I'm right on track. All of the employees, all of the towns did something in physical activity. All but one did something related to nutrition. 90% of all employees, 98% of the town populations had some kind of tobacco clean air activity. One of the things we learned is in the tiny employers, you had a lot fewer smokers than you have in the general population. And in fact, when I did the behavioral risk factor survey analysis at baseline, I discovered people who are in the workforce but unemployed were twice as likely to be smokers as people who are employed. So that wasn't surprising. So an example of how the towns are creative. Maine has a law, already has on the books a law that limits how close you should be smoking to 20 feet outside of entryways. And some of the towns made part of their festival activities. They had kids drawing 20-foot radius circles, filling them in with bright-colored imagery. So again, teaching people, this is where you shouldn't smoke. But they made it part of a downtown celebration. It wasn't, oh, here comes the public health person with their ruler telling you, you know, where you should go and what you should do. I've got to figure out how to backspace. Okay, sorry about that. Those are all appendixes. So why did it work? Great partners. We asked people, did you make new partners? They made new partners. They were working much more with people they hadn't worked with before. They discovered this whole health world was really about the same thing they were, and they formed partnerships that they're carried out going forward. People who weren't in the original partnerships came begging us to get involved. How can we do this? How can we can we have permission? We don't quite fit the, you know, we're outside the boundary of the downtown. Can we join? Yes, you can. Come on in. Going forward, do whatever you want. Everyone owned it. You used existing networks, and what you discovered were the existing networks were pulling together. You know, it was really a collective impact situation. You worked together really well. You used the idea of the employee to bring together the wellness idea and the community idea, but in a way it was almost an excuse to get that ball rolling. But it used the leadership that the downtown businesses have, which is a very powerful thing. It built the downtown pride. We had partners, we had boundaries, we had protocols and rules, so people weren't out kind of stumbling around trying to guess what to do. You know, we gave them some pretty rigid lines to help them stay within the lines, and then we gave them lots of choice about how, in fact, to combine them all. So, people to get more information from, we've got online connections. I've got a lot of material out back, including business cards with our online connection. We're on Facebook, we're on a blog, we're on the internet, really communicated like crazy in this. And thank you so much to our partners, to the downtowns, to MEHAF, our Conversion Foundation funded the original activity, the Community Transformation Grant, which this was just a dream fit. And then there's more material about that, again, if you go online for more details, and I'd love to tell you more about it. So, did I say anything?